Breaking news tonight. President Trump says he's pulling the U.S. out of a landmark agreement on climate change, arguing it's hurting the economy. Cheered by supporters and condemned around the world, some American cities vowing to fight. Putin's admission, what he's saying for the first time about Russian hackers in the U.S. election. Eye-opening comments before an exclusive interview with NBC News. Powerful words from basketball superstar LeBron James speaking out after a racist message left at his home. 100 deadliest days, a startling new warning about teen driving this summer. Why is this particular moment so dangerous? And Inspiring America, a life-changing mission by a NASA rocket scientist who invented one of the most popular toys of all time. Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. I'm Savannah Guthrie in for Lester. And tonight, from joy to despair, reaction is pouring in from around the world to President Trump's decision to yank the U.S. out of the Paris Accord, the landmark climate deal that nearly every country in the world had signed on to. For his supporters, it is a campaign promise made good. The president claiming the economy will be strengthened and jobs will be coming back to America's coal country. But detractors say it is a stunning abandonment of the U.S.'s leadership in the world and a grave threat to the planet itself. Tonight, the impact of withdrawing and the wiggle room the dealmaker president left to renegotiate a better deal. How real is that possibility? NBC White House correspondent Kristen Welker leading us off.
With the eyes of the world on the Rose Garden, President Trump made it official.
The United States will withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord.
The agreement is a pledge by nearly 200 countries to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The president vowing he can get a better deal.
So we're getting out, but we will start to negotiate. And we will see if we can make a deal that's fair.
Casting it as a campaign promise kept, the president said the move will lift regulations and save jobs. But the controversial decision also underscoring how much influence the nationalists within the West Wing, like Steve Bannon, still have. Bannon arguing for the president to pull out, while daughter Ivanka and son-in-law Jared Kushner were pushing the president to stay put. Today, that America First message was on full display.
I was elected to represent the citizens of Pittsburgh, not Paris.
But the mayor of Pittsburgh isn't on board, tweeting, "I can assure you that we will follow the guidelines of the Paris Agreement." In a joint statement, Italy, France, and Germany sharply criticized President Trump. The president of France saying the deal can't be renegotiated. Tonight, goading the president.
We all share the same responsibility. Make our planet great again.
The U.S. helped craft the accord that includes nearly every other nation on Earth, except Syria and Nicaragua. Opponents also arguing backing out of the deal could put America last.
It's an extraordinary abdication of American leadership. It is a shameful moment for the United States.
We don't have a place at that table anymore. And that's going to reverberate in other issues as well.
There was also a bitter backlash from many in the business community. Today, Tesla CEO Elon Musk saying he's pulling out of the president's advisory council. But close to 40 Republican lawmakers applauded the president, calling it great news for the economy.
We have a president who's doing what he said he would do, and he's doing what's in the best interest of the United States.
The earliest the U.S. could formally exit the Paris Agreement is November 4th, 2020. That's one day after Election Day. And with European leaders insisting the deal can't be renegotiated, tonight prospects for a new accord with close to 200 countries looks highly unlikely at this moment. Savannah.
Kristen Welker at the White House for us. Thank you. And now to the impact in cities and states across the country, where the effects of climate change are already being felt and many leaders are already vowing to fight back against the president's decision by taking matters into their own hands. Our chief environmental affairs correspondent Ann Thompson with those details.
Climate scientists say the warning signs are everywhere, from Montana's shrinking glaciers to Australia's bleaching Great Barrier Reef, a trend that could worsen, experts say, now that the U.S., the second largest carbon emitter in the world, plans to pull out of the Paris Agreement.
That means record heat, more drought in some places, torrential rains and floods in other places, sea level rising, drowning coastal areas. The world will be a mess.
The Department of Defense labels climate change a threat multiplier, leading to food and water shortages fueling international conflicts. But today, the president focused on the economy, claiming the Paris Accord would cost the U.S. $3 trillion in lost economic activity and 6.5 million industrial jobs.
The president cited a particular study today. That study has been widely debunked because it makes all sorts of incorrect assumptions about America's role in the Paris Agreement.
Under the Paris Agreement, the U.S. pledged to reduce greenhouse gas emissions 26% by 2025. In 2015, it was almost halfway to that goal, helped by power companies choosing cheaper, cleaner natural gas and renewables instead of polluting coal. The coal industry hopes the president's actions will ignite a renaissance. But this week alone, two coal-fired power plants in New Jersey and one in Massachusetts closed. Many states and cities vow to fight climate change. California launching its own global coalition with Canada and Mexico. Los Angeles is reducing its carbon footprint with the biggest electric vehicle fleet in the country.
We've made a commitment to get off of coal by 2025.
And Virginia is establishing its own carbon emission standards for power plants. Many parts of America opting for cleaner energy sources with or without the president. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
Tonight, a major reversal from the Russian President Vladimir Putin. For the first time, he has acknowledged Russian hackers could have played a role in meddling with the U.S. election, but he continues to deny he or his government ordered the job. This as the U.S. reportedly weighs a move that would be music to Moscow's ears. NBC's Peter Alexander with the latest.
Vladimir Putin tonight changing his tune, backpedaling on repeated denials of Russian interference in last year's election. Putin acknowledging private Russian hackers not connected to the government could have been involved. If those hackers feel patriotic, Putin says, they may try to contribute to the fight against those who speak badly about Russia. The former acting CIA director disputing Putin's assessment.
It's not really credible that there are hackers independent of the Russian government who would be able to do what Russia was able to do in our election. It was too coordinated.
It comes as the Trump administration considers a major concession to Moscow. The Washington Post reporting the U.S. may return control of two luxury retreats near New York City and in Maryland. Diplomatic compounds the Obama administration said were being used for intelligence-related purposes, shut down last December to punish Russia for meddling in the election.
If this is just some kind of a reward, I think it really begs a lot of questions about why on earth the Trump administration would even contemplate such a thing.
Those seizures infuriating the Kremlin. The Russian embassy last week warning if the property wasn't returned ASAP, we will have to take countermeasures. Still, the Russia investigation is widening, with reports that Trump ally and Brexit architect Nigel Farage is now under scrutiny in the inquiry. Farage tonight denying any Russia connection. And the FBI and Congress are now examining this campaign event last spring in Washington to see whether Mr. Trump, then Senator Jeff Sessions, and Jared Kushner met privately with a Russian ambassador, something they've repeatedly denied.
And new details tonight about that he said between President Trump and former FBI Director James Comey. Comey is now scheduled to testify before the Senate Intelligence Committee next Thursday. Savannah?
All right, Peter, thank you. By the way, those remarks from Putin coming on the eve of an exclusive interview with NBC's Megyn Kelly, who met the Russian leader at a dinner in Moscow today ahead of that sit down. She also spoke with a number of Russian citizens about the tense moment between our two countries.
Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin.
In America, Russian President Vladimir Putin is now front and center, sparking anger among U.S. officials.
Russia brazenly interfered in our 2016 presidential election process.
And prompting deepening questions over the relationship between the Russians and President Trump's team. But in Russia tonight, many wonder why Mr. Putin is facing any allegations at all.
Have they showed any proof?
We spoke with Sergei Brilyov, one of the country's top broadcasters, who works at a state-run channel.
We see this as a matter of our national sovereignty. And if there was interference with our presidential election, that's a pretty big deal.
Are you serious that Russia, even being the biggest country on earth, could have interfered in the democratic process of the mightiest democracy on this planet?
Russia's got the best hackers in the world.
Not only that, the best hackers might be in North Korea or something.
While more than two-thirds of Americans say Russian interference is an important issue, only 29% of voters believe Russia is an enemy. President Trump has praised Mr. Putin.
I respect Putin. He's a strong leader, I can tell you that.
But he's also criticized him for continuing to support the Syrian regime after it launched a deadly chemical attack.
Putin is backing a person that's truly an evil person.
The Kremlin says there's no evidence against the Syrian government.
This is Baskov Lane, just steps away from the grandeur of St. Petersburg and boyhood home of Vladimir Putin.
We asked people here, what do they think about America?
It's a good country.
Russia and U.S., they should be big partners.
What do you think President Putin wants?
Right now, his only goal is to stay in power.
It is the best president we have ever had.
And their thoughts on President Trump.
He is for a friendly relationship with Russia.
Now, Mr. Putin is facing a critical question. How will he deal with America's new commander-in-chief?
A lot to talk about with President Putin when I sit down with him for a one-on-one interview here in St. Petersburg tomorrow. This will be the first time he has sat with an American journalist since the appointment of that special counsel to look into allegations of Russian interference in our election. Savannah?
All right, Megan, we look forward to that. By the way, you can see the exclusive interview with President Putin on the debut of Sunday Night with Megyn Kelly this Sunday, 7 Eastern, 6 Central, right here on NBC. Now to the horrifying moments inside a popular casino resort in the Philippines. Police say a gunman, believed to be acting alone, entered the casino in Manila, stole casino chips, shot a TV, and set fire to gambling tables. That sent panicked guests scrambling. One ISIS fighter claimed responsibility, but no official claim from the jihadist group. Police now say no one was shot and robbery may have been the real motive after all. The suspect remains on the loose. Ahead of tonight's tip-off in Game 1 of the NBA Finals, superstar LeBron James is speaking out about a disturbing off-the-court incident. He delivered a powerful message after his home was vandalized with a racial slur. It's part of a troubling recent wave of racist acts across the country, and we get the latest from NBC's Joe Fryer.
As LeBron James gets ready to lead his Cleveland Cavs into Game 1 of the NBA Finals, he's pausing to deliver a message beyond basketball.
Racism will always be a part of the world. It's alive every single day.
The comments come after his Los Angeles home was vandalized with a racial slur. A police source says the N-word was spray painted on a gate. No one was home at the time, and so far, no one has been arrested.
No matter how much money you have, no matter how famous you are, no matter how many people admire you, you know, being black in America is tough.
A statement that's echoing across the country.
For him to speak out, for him not to avoid the issue, for him to look straight into that camera and tell the truth is remarkable.
Today, the song We Shall Overcome resonated loudly outside the Museum of African American History and Culture, one day after a noose was discovered inside. Last week, another noose was found hanging from a tree outside Smithsonian's Hirshhorn Museum. Similar incidents have been reported across the country, including a Maryland middle school.
The noose symbolizes loss, pain, but your rallying around us helps us remember what a great place we can be when we come together.
For James, basketball comes second to being a role model, which is why he's not shying away from what happened.
And we got a long way to go, you know, for us as a society and for us as African Americans until we feel equal.
Powerful words creating a different kind of moment on basketball's biggest stage. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
And still ahead, a warning for parents and teens as summer heats up. Why experts say this is the deadliest time of year on the road for teen drivers and what parents can do to keep them safer. Also, new video just released by police showing the moments just after Tiger Woods' DUI arrest. Stay with us. We're back now with some sobering news for parents with teenage drivers. With the start of the summer break, safety advocates are warning that we have just entered what they're calling the 100 deadliest days, when teen driver crashes suddenly spike. And tonight, AAA reports the number of teen drivers involved in fatal crashes has jumped 10%. We get more from NBC's Tom Costello.
Police video of a distracted teenage driver and an officer's traffic stop.
What's with the kind of erratic driving?
She was lucky it was only a traffic stop. AAA has gathered example after example of teens' close calls. Teens distracted by texting, phone calls, the radio, or each other.
I'm sitting before you today, paralyzed from the chest down,
including my hands and fingers.
Katie Matthews was 16 when she was in a rollover accident. Her teenage friend was distracted, speeding, then swerved suddenly to make an exit.
I spent 5 weeks in the neuro ICU, two of which in a coma.
Today, she tells her story at church and at high schools. Now, AAA research shows 16 and 17-year-olds are three times more likely than adults to be involved in a fatal crash. And fatal accidents involving teens typically jump 15% over the summer.
They're more likely to pile their friends into the car. And we know that passengers really increase the crash risk for a teen.
60% of all fatal teen crashes involve distractions. The leading distraction, passengers, especially teens. Experts say adding one passenger increases the risk of a crash by 50%. Add a second, and the risk nearly doubles. Several phone apps help parents monitor their teen drivers, notifying you if a teenager is texting, speeding, or driving outside of a designated area. Some apps block texts or calls in a moving car. And some cars provide detailed driver report cards after every trip. As the nation's riskiest drivers enter the deadliest days of the year. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
When we come back, talk about a jumbo jet. It's rolling out of the hangar for the first time and claiming a new world record. New videos released by police tonight are giving us a look at the moments right after Tiger Woods was arrested for DUI, including images of the golf legend as he submitted to a breathalyzer test. NBC's Kerry Sanders has the late details.
Turn around.
Tiger Woods, barefoot, handcuffed. The Jupiter police officer who arrested one of golf's greatest players ever, just off camera.
Sir, will you please state your full name?
Tom Woods.
The arrest affidavit notes Tiger Woods slurred his words and at times seemed to fall asleep.
Okay. You know
at 2:03 a.m. on Memorial Day, police
discovered
Tiger Woods behind the wheel of his Mercedes, two tires flat, the engine still running. Physical dexterity tests, then a verbal test. Recite the alphabet backwards.
Okay, what were the instructions?
Not to sing the national anthem backwards.
Not to sing the national anthem backwards?
Hello? Wood says he was not drinking that night, but had an unexpected reaction to prescription medication.
The instrument did not detect any alcohol on your breath.
If convicted on misdemeanor DUI charges, Tiger Woods could face up to 6 months in jail. Kerry Sanders, NBC News, Jupiter, Florida.
It is being called the world's biggest plane. Take a look at the Stratolauncher, rolled out today for the first time from a hangar in California where it's been under construction. It has two fuselages, a wingspan longer than a football field, 28 wheels, and it weighs about 500,000 pounds. But before you get excited about how many packs of peanuts it could carry, this behemoth is not for passengers. It's designed to carry rockets into space. When we come back, he's given kids decades of summer fun, and now this genius inventor is making another big splash. Inspiring America is next. Finally, tonight, he created one of the most popular toys ever, the Super Soaker. Kids still have a blast with every summer, but he didn't stop there. Now he's helping young prodigies who are eager to get their feet wet as the next generation of inventors. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has our Inspiring America report.
If curiosity were currency,
it's like the place comes to life when you're here.
This room would be rich.
The space is super great.
The space is Johnson Laboratories in Atlanta.
I was always curious about how things would work as a kid.
Lonnie Johnson grew up in Mobile, Alabama, at the height of the civil rights movement.
There was a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress.
He turned that fear into motivation and a career as a NASA rocket scientist. But his aha moment came unexpectedly while designing a water pump.
It really felt good. Aiming that stream of water across the bathroom. At that point, I decided to put my engineering hat on and design a high-performance water gun.
And it changed your life.
It did that.
This was the first prototype for the Super Soaker. It would eventually top $1 billion in sales.
It's interesting that Super Soaker gets so much attention. I really like to think of myself as a serious engineer.
Now he's getting serious about giving back. His nonprofit helps fund these high school robotics teams, one of them made up of refugees. Now, future engineers. Colombo Makuka fled the Central African Republic a year ago.
We don't want to get killed
That's why we ran away from there.
Incredibly, in just its second year, that team, the Disbots, qualified for the worldwide competition in Texas.
If I could do something to have a positive impact, then clearly that's something that I want to do.
For Lonnie Johnson, this invention may be his proudest, proving usually it's better to give than receive. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Atlanta.
Nice shot. That's going to do it for us on a Thursday night. I'm Savannah Guthrie, and for Lester, for all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and have a good night.